If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 740. It's the 22nd of March, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Dan Mayling, Finance Director of Solo Oil. Ticker there is Solo. And Dan talks about their investment in a helium project in Tanzania. Also on the podcast, I have Andrea Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy. ZEN ticker, talks about their new board appointment and general progress at their oil fields in Azerbaijan. Plus, Martin Eales, CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths, that's RBW ticker, and Martin provides an update on its high-grade Gagara rare earth project in Burundi. I also have today suggested one for your watch list, which is MAFL. I love that ticker. Mineral and Finance Investments Limited, that is, submitted by Barry. Don't forget, anything here in this podcast is just information. It's not intended as investment advice. Please do your own research. But Barry reckons you should add this to your watch list, and I'll go through the reasons why in a bit. Also on the podcast, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, plus the top five most liked RNSs released on the platform this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dan Mayling, Finance Director of Solo Oil. That's S-O-L-O ticker. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin. Good to be here.
It's always nice. I like Neil coming on, but it's always nice to have a bit of variety. And like I said, you've some very interesting news you've released today. And I read through the RNS. Very interesting. Interesting space, that, helium. And we'll go into that in a bit. But for new people listening to the podcast, Dan, and people not aware of what Solo is all about, could you give us a brief summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Oh, look, for sure, Justin. We're a natural resources investment company. Focused on acquiring and developing a diverse global non-operator portfolio of oil and gas assets and in general in resources, and you know that's been successful for us over the last ensuing years, and we're looking forward to unlocking some more value in that portfolio and adding new entrants to it in the years ahead.
Excellent. So today's RNS, I didn't see this coming. It was an investment in a helium project in Tanzania and a subscription. So take us through the highlights here, Dan. So who have you invested in and why, essentially? And we'll go through the costs of it a bit later.
Yeah, for sure. Look, this is an initial 10% interest in Helium One. Helium One's an independent specialist explorer focused on becoming a major supplier into the global helium market. Their main project is in Tanzania, where they've got over 20 prospective licenses. And the Rukwa project itself is, seemingly a world-class asset with high-grade volumes of helium and some unique characteristics that make it great for export potential and an exciting entry point for us into a sector where we see some massive growth.
Yeah, so why do you see growth there? Why helium? Take us through the market there.
Yeah, look, there's some interesting supply-demand dynamics going on at the moment. We're seeing the US as a major supplier of helium, sort of limiting their supply into the market post-2021. There's also a limited number of projects around the world that are economic in helium to fill that gap in the market. So something like Rukwa and what the guys at Helium One have identified could be a really strategic asset in this space.
Yeah, and I was interested to say, unlike other projects, and I've had another company on, I've interviewed hundreds of companies, only one other company has mentioned helium, and they're echoing what you're saying now. The dynamics here in the market are very interesting, because you've got, like I said, the Americans there cutting back the supply, and so the price has gone up. But unlike other projects around the world, yours seems to be of high concentrate helium, whereas others were, or a byproduct of, is it hydrocarbons? Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's right. Generally, it's associated with some gas production and association, and that means you've generally got to be producing a quite expensive gas development, and then the helium comes in as a credit to that project. Seemingly, what the guys at Helium One have identified at Rukwa has got great high concentrations of helium based on SEEP analysis to date. And naturally occurring, so you don't have the expense of associated gas development.
Okay, and so what do you know about the resource, and how much are you paying for it, and what percentage?
Yeah, look, the resource itself is has been independently certified with a most likely unrisked prospective recoverable volume of just under 100 BCF at 98.9 BCF, And look, we see that as being, you know, significant enough to potentially, you know, open up a great early entry opportunity for us into this helium space.
Yeah, and I was looking at the actual annual supply of helium, and that there, that 99 BCF, isn't it like enough to supply? I mean, if you prove all that up, obviously, because it's a perspective there, is it enough to supply the world supply market for how many years?
Yeah, you're looking at potentially 10 to 15 years supply there, noting that it sort of averages around 6 BCF a year at the moment, so... Yeah, you can see why we're excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, so how much are you paying and what share are you getting it then?
So for 10%, initially we're paying £2.5 million, mm-hmm. Which is a split of stock and cash, which we announced today and have paid for today. The balance is open to a call option and to take on another 10% over 90 days. And, you know, we're expecting some more value catalysts within the project to be announced in the coming months as the guys complete their aeromedic survey over the key prospects.
Yeah, and I was seeing this. You have the potential to invest for another 10% at 4 yeah. million, which is obviously double the initial. But this is assuming, obviously, that I assume then the reason why this is a bit more expensive then because the project will be more de-risked by then with more data. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And look, that is at our option. But, you know, we'd expect in the coming months for that AeroMag survey data to be made available and analysed and put into their subsurface interpretation, which could lead to a revisit of some of those in-place volume resources that we've been alluding to.
Okay, so just bring it up to date here. So where exactly are Helium One now with this project? What's going to be happening next?
Okay, so at the moment it's further delineating some prospects for drilling. The main one is the Rukwa project. So the guys have done a really good job in de-risking this as much as possible now. And with some good work over the next 12 months, we'd be hoping to drill out some of these prospects during 2018.
Excellent stuff. It's very interesting. And how did this come about? It's helium, because obviously it's an unusual, you know, element of gas there, and not many people are aware of it or the market. How did it come about? How did it come on your radar?
Yeah, look, it is something we had been looking at for a while, and not necessarily this project, but there was a few elsewhere in the world that were associated with gas projects, and our technical team are, you know, very, very competent and experienced in analysing and assessing the technical risk of those type of projects, and helium was a natural sort of point of interest for us. This particular project came on our radar. You know, I was looking at other things in Tanzania as well, so it seemed to be a really good fit for our portfolio.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Is at the moment there are a number of sort of hot commodities, and say lithium and cobalt for next generation of goods and vehicles and all that stuff. But you could probably put helium in there as a hot sort of. Looking at the market dynamics, it's definitely and the price action going on there. It's definitely one to look out for, isn't it? In that hot sort of commodity space.
Look, it is. We believe so, And again, it's teaming our skill set and, I guess, project identification, it's been key in that. Our team sits well with the Helium One team. The assets sit well geographically for us. We're comfortable with Tanzania. We've had a good track record of unlocking value in that country with various projects. Look, the technical risks are things that we're comfortable with as well from a gas read across. So, really exciting opportunity.
Excellent. Okay, Dan, well, listen, at Vox Markets on the podcast every day, I highlight the top five most followed companies. And so if someone's listening now and they like the sound of this and your potential exposure to the helium market, could you give us, three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, our investment portfolio now is several world-class projects with significant value catalysts in the coming months. In the Rovuma Basin in Tanzania, we have a large gas and condensate discovery, which we're now applying for a development license for with Eminex. We have gas sales from Kilwani also in Tanzania, which is providing us a nice revenue stream. We expect to be flow testing the Horse Hill oil discovery onshore UK in the second half of the year. And now adding a high impact first mover advantage project like Helium One to the mix. I think we tick a lot of boxes there for investors. I look forward to sharing more news as we continue to unlock the value in our portfolio.
Excellent. Dan, it's good to speak to you, and I look forward to chatting again in not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andre Cattaneo, CEO of Zenith Energy. Ticker there is ZEN. Andre, thanks for joining me again.
Thank you to you for inviting me. And I am having this conversation from Asia again, this time from Hong Kong.
You're a man who clocks up the miles. I've got to say, I've chatted to you in from the London Stock Exchange, from Azerbaijan. Last time I spoke to you, you were in an airport in China. Now you're in Hong Kong. And we'll get into that and why you're there. First and foremost, though, Andre, I always like to do this at the start for new people or new listeners or people not aware of your story. Give us a brief summary as to what Zenith is all about, please.
Okay, Zenith is an asset-rich company. It has a mega asset in Azerbaijan that we found going there and staying there for 2 years, from 2014 to 2016. We have signed in March and then got the property under our hands as operator in August 2017. So we produce 300 barrels per day that are due to increase. Our plan is to deliver a production level by the 31st of March 2018 of 3,000 barrels, 1,000 barrels per day. And of crude oil, the crude oil is sold under the blend Ural, which is one of the most traded crude oil type in the world. And we sell them at the world these barrels at the world market price minus 1% of commission. So it's a great logistical approach in permitting us to cash in 42 days from production each barrel made in the following period, and then to cash that in a very reasonable amount of days in our US dollar denominated bank account.
Excellent. All right. Well, listen, since we last spoke, you've quite a few news releases out, and one today, which was the appointment of a director. So shall we go over that, Andres, and give us the reasons why you've appointed a new director there?
Yes, I want to combine in this brief presentation the fact that we appointed another director and the nature of this individual, that is a new independent director of the company, and the reason of our traveling. I believe personally, and the board share my views, so the company strategy is, as a result of it is that traveling a lot and meeting different individuals with the contacts provided by the board permit us to conquer assets that are of great value and they are not immediately available in the big city, London, Paris, New York, where people conveniently reside. Our philosophy is that if you want to have a big asset at cheap price, you have to to go getting it in the place where this asset resides. So Africa, Asia, Central Asia, East of Europe, and this is the way to get asset at the cheap price, as we did with our mega Azerbaijani asset. At the same time, the new director is a gentleman that has been responsible for research of OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, as you know, the famous organization, has been working in the Ministry of Oil of his country, and since here is the daily producer of a very important energy bulletin that he does in an Emirates energy magazine. So that is a person very credible with a lot of contacts. Indeed, we lacked of contract in the Arab world, and Mr. Sabdallah Al-Sati just cover this loop that we had in our worldwide coverage. So at the moment, the board people together, they can speak one or the other. Some do more languages, some less, but all together as a board, we speak 10 languages, and including now Arabic. And this permits us to have friendship and correspondence and close relation with people in various countries. And then, which is our strength, we believe, to settle in these countries when we are producer with more easiness. You see that a lot of junior companies, sometimes they conquer an asset, then to report that they get sued by local authorities or neighbors or a variety of local organizations, because it's very difficult for Western world people to settle in certain countries if you don't have the right attitude. And part of the attitude should be as well the skill of speaking their own language.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So you're widening your geographical sort of influences there. And is this with the sort of potential of maybe looking at assets elsewhere, or is this just to help the flow of business in different countries?
So thank you for the question. You know, we are not flying and traveling for pleasure. We are flying at the service of the company and the shareholders' future joy. The reason of this recent traveling in Asia has been that we are buying, as described in the prospectus, one or two rigs. The main one that we are debating at the moment is a drilling rig that should be soonest in operation in Azerbaijan, permitting us to evolve our present workover campaign into a drilling campaign. Our philosophy is to do the drilling, which is a very expensive operation and risky, with some insurance element and responsibility between service company and operator, to do it instead on our own, combining the role of an operator and a service company, hence reducing cost for drilling and being able to enter into a systematic drilling campaign that should have statistical success. So what we see that sometimes a junior operator, for lack of money, make one well only, or two wells, or three wells, and if unfortunately, which is statistically very normal in oil and gas industry, these three wells result in a fiasco, in a disaster, then the company is done, because the amount of money that you have spent for these three wells using a third party service company is able to put in its knee any junior company. When instead, if we have our own rig, the cost of it is much reduced, so we can absorb it with the profits that we do at the moment every month. And by the way, people, the management and the workforce for managing these rigs is already present in our staff. We need only to hire some specialists to coach and to improve the technical level of our operation. So the exposure to financial debt is much reduced, and we can then continue in a plan to make 10, 15, 20 and so on wells, which then statistically should produce a good quantity of oil, even after the first two or three failure.
Yeah, I understand. So currently, right now, what is happening there in Azerbaijan? And I've seen a couple of pictures on social media and at Vox of the guys there installing a new submersive pumps. Can you tell us exactly what's going on right there at the moment?
So, as you know, Justin, we have created two teams working in competition between themselves. One is Team A and the other is Team B. Team A, at the moment, has our workover rig of our own property and has been just rehauled in the factory that produced it originally, and so is in good shape, and has started to make three submersible pumps installation, which are easy jobs, making the team A more fit to start the first workover, which will be M45. Instead, the team B at the moment is composed by a drilling company, a very reputable, local one, but very reputable, but expensive, that is doing M195. M195 is the first workover operation that we do in our new life as Zenith in this field. And so we are very, very focused in doing that in the best possible way. So we are taking all precaution. We have been slower than expected. But, you know, I don't want to say again a date, but in some days we should have the end of this operation and hopefully the first success.
Yeah, so at the moment, are we saying that Team A, the in-house team, are ahead of Team B, is that right?
Team A started, started 7 days ago. Team B started instead already 45 days ago and should be near the end of M195 operation.
Oh, so I see, right. Yes, so I got the teams the wrong way around. Yeah, sorry. So I mean, what's the feeling like amongst Team A? Because Team B have got a bit of a head start there. What's the feeling like?
Well, you know, Team A is the internal team, is our own team. So there are people that are less sophisticated, are more local, more humble, but they are very much own the field. You know, it's the workforce that feels very much behind Zenith to make the field rehabilitation a success story. So they are very, very determined. They have less quality equipment, and they have less sophistication yet, but with the improvement that we are bringing day by day, they will reach the same level of Team B. Team B is instead a high professional local team with years of experience and high quality brand new equipment, and so they are sort of very relaxed that they will deliver a high quality job to us. But in our philosophy, eventually both Team A and Team B should be formed by personnel of Zenith.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And what's the next sort of milestone we can look forward to? You releasing Andrea, and what kind of things are happening? Any other news there going on that you'd like to report at the moment?
You know, we are anticipating that in the next few days, I don't want to give a date to our shareholders and followers, because it's difficult to predict in this final fine-tuning of M195, but soon we will report the result of it. We are very confident, at least we have done it with all total care, and we see what will be the success of this first operation. It is important for us psychologically, because the first operation that we reported to investors, so we are very tense to have it done right.
Excellent stuff, Andrea. Well, you know how it works here at Vox Markets. Every day in the podcast, I highlight the top five most followed companies in the last 24 hours. So for someone listening right now, and they like the sound of what you're talking about there in your operations, and like the Team A, Team B competitiveness, and the fact that you're acquiring decent low-cost rigs out there in Asia, could you give them three reasons why someone should hit that follow button, please, on your page?
I will give you three reasons, and because you asked me this question before, I will repeat only one reason that I used before, mm-hmm. and the other two new reasons will be brand new. So the first one, that is always the base of all our communication, is that we are thoroughly undervalued. Our company has a market cap roughly in American dollars to compare like for like of 20 million American dollars. So it's 13, depending the day, million pound, but as an NPV of $2 billion. So our NPV is 100 times our market cap. That is a fact that I cannot ever be tired of repeat, because it's such a fact of a great magnitude that should attract and impress any shareholder that come even in this second into listening your radio. The second point is that is new, is what we are presenting every month with Vox Market, for example, is the picture of a truly operator company and industrial company. You know, we are not just a venture company. A junior explorer does a well, tries luck in one well, and then let's see what it is. A lot of attention before drilling, then either goes up or goes down dramatically because has been a duster. Our philosophy is instead of industrial attitude. So we will make a well after the other. We'll be very interested to see the attention of investors and their interest and their sort of adrenaline. But the philosophy is to do one after the other, and then there is a statistical rate of success. And we are seeking the statistical rate of success in the oil industry like Shell and Exxon, not like small junior trying the of exploration or drilling. And then the third is that we are an expanding company, just referring to the nomination of our new director, Sabdallah Al-Sati. We are present in various fronts around the globe where there can be interesting oil opportunity, and this is what we are able to do, to grab traveling with a lot of fatigue but with enthusiasm, cheap opportunity, so to be a company that is asset rich and that eventually can be seek by other big operators, permitting us to become a mid-tier company with a market cap of 100 million pound plus.
Marvellous. Andrea, good to chat to you wherever you are in the world. And like I said, you're getting into a bit of a busy period there at Zenith Energy. So listen, no doubt you'll have further news not too far down the line. So I look forward to chatting to you again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much, Andrea.
And me too. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Martin Eel, CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths. That's RBW ticker. Martin, thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure, Justin.
Now, the last time we talked was just about right about the time of your IPO. And first and foremost, before we get into a summary of what you're all about, how's it gone so far?
Well, it's been better than we could have imagined. We raised $8 million in the IPO, which was more than we set out to raise. There was great demand from the market. And behind the scenes, we've been very busy since the listing on the 30th of January. But the operations update today summarizes where we are, I think. And it's really to give shareholders information on what we've been doing. And the key message is that we're on track with the targets we set out at the time of the IPO.
Excellent. Okay, before we get into the operations update, like you are a new company, and so some people may not have heard of you, and we have new listeners to the podcast all the time, so if they didn't hear the previous interview, Martin, can you explain what Rainbow Rare Earths is all about, please?
Yes, of course. Well, we are restarting the old Gakara rare earths project in Burundi, in East Africa. Now, it used to be a mine in the 40s, 50s, 60s, right up to 1978, and then it was forgotten about, really, until we took it over. Now, rare earths, for those that don't know, are a range of 17 different elements that traditionally go into industrial uses, but the key value driver for the rare earth market is use in the most powerful magnets, and our basket of rare earths is heavily weighted towards those high-value magnet rare earths. We intend to be producing very shortly, and our target first sales of our rare earth concentrate is Q4 2017.
Okay, and as far as the project is concerned there, what do you know about the size of the asset and some of the sort of figures around that?
Well, we had a competent persons report in our prospectus, which gave us a resource target of 20 to 80,000 tonnes of rare earth oxides. Now, we don't have what's called a JORC resource. We've got the one rung below that in the JORC hierarchy, mainly because it's more economic for us to start mining activity than it would be to conduct a drilling campaign. But the beauty is, of course, we've got historical records. We know it, of course, it used to be a mine, and we can identify a huge number of very prospective veins that we're going to start mining.
Yeah, and you said that you start sales, first sales commence year end 2017, and so you have what, customers in place already to go?
Yeah, well, the key factor in our case is we've partnered with the German multinational blue chip company ThyssenKrupp. Their trading arm is acting as our distribution agent, so they'll be making all our sales for us. And we're very optimistic, given the feedback we've had from ThyssenKrupp, that the buyers are ready and waiting to take our concentrate as soon as we can start exporting it.
Okay, and are you able to say what volume you'll be selling and what price?
I can't talk about price because, as listeners will know, the rare earths market is quite opaque, and of course we're selling a basket of different materials, so each price will be based on a negotiation. But in terms of volume, our short-term target is to be selling 5,000 tonnes of rare earth concentrate a year, and we'd like to hit that run rate next year in 2018.
Excellent. And as far as you're concerned, you know, revenue-wise, and will this make you, I mean, where will this put you? Is this making a profit for the company or what? Or is it just, you know, generating cash flow here?
Well, on a mining level, we expect, as soon as we hit the 5,000 tonnes a year run rate, to be profitable on the mine level. The capital equipment we're putting in has capacity to take us right up to 10,000 tonnes a year with no further investment in the processing plant. So we're future-proofed in terms of the first few years of production. And you know, the way we see prices moving, we should certainly be cash flow positive once we reach our short-term target.
Yeah, and so what's your feeling, Mark, personally? I mean, are you very happy at the moment? Everything's going to plan? I mean, are you, you know, are you exceeding what you expected?
I'd like to exceed. It's always better to meet your targets. But I think what the message we're trying to reiterate to the market at the moment is that our first sales will be in Q4 17. And we think that's quite a tough target we've set ourselves. It's not often a mine can be started and make its first sales within 9 months. So we think that will be a fine achievement in itself. But of course, yeah, the earlier we make those sales, the earlier the cash starts coming in.
Yeah, well, you've certainly hit the ground running. You know, I've spoken to companies on the podcast here who've, you know, promised sales, and they keep exploring, and it doesn't come to that. But it's amazing to be IPO'd, and you're starting already with a mine. You know, you're running through there and getting achieving sales by the end of this year. So that's, you're certainly sort of hitting the ground running there. And as far as, you know, on the ground there in Burundi, how is it? I mean, is it easy to operate there? I mean, economically and politically?
Yes, well, it's a country that doesn't have a lot of mining activity at the moment. We are going to be a significant project for the country's mining industry. We have found it relatively simple to do business there. We've got a great relationship with the instruments of state, the mining ministry, and the government, the local population. So, in terms of being able to operate there, I'm very confident there are much harder places in the world than Burundi to start up a mine. Bear in mind, this is very, very simple mining because it's high grade, low volume, and it's you know, at surface mining. So, you know, we don't need huge infrastructure to get going. It's very labor intensive and less intensive on machines. So again, it's cost effective and should put us in sort of the lowest quartile for rare earth producers in the world.
Excellent. And as far as the next sort of milestone before sales, what are you hoping to achieve?
What we'd like to update the market on over the course of the next 3, 4, 5 months is progress on the start of production and building a stockpile of run-of-mine ore ready for the commissioning of the processing plant. That plant will be imported principally from South Africa. It's off-the-shelf machinery. So we'd like to give our shareholders an update over the next few months when that kit starts arriving in country and starts being assembled. But in the meantime, of course, we're mining and stockpiling ore ready to go through that plant as soon as it's finished.
Excellent. Okay, Martin, well, you've been on the podcast before, and so you're pretty aware of the system here. At Vox, I do highlight the top five most followed companies in the last 24 hours. So can you give now three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please?
I think with Rainbow, you've got low-cost, high-grade mining in the incredibly exciting rare earth sector. We're near-term production and sales, and we will be delivering news on a regular basis this year.
Martin, good to chat to you, and I know you're off out there now to do some work, so have a good trip, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin. Speak soon.
Okay, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. It is MAFL. That's M-A-F-L, ticker. I love that ticker. Mineral and Financial Investments Limited is the name of the company. Oh, give us a bit of muffle. Give us a bit of muffling. Anti-muffles coming round. Anyway, it's submitted by Barry. Thanks, Barry, for getting involved here. Like I said, it's all information, not investment advice. What does the company do? It invests in the natural resources sector. Current share price, 19.12 pence, market cap, 6.6 million, shares in issue, 34 million. What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? In their interim results for the 6 months ended 30th of June, and net gains on investments were £209,000. Profit before tax was £140,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? In their interims, for the 6 months ended 30th of June 2016, cash stood at £137,000. Net assets stood at £1.05 million, but you know, in post period highlights here, on March 15th they raised £500,000 at 15 pence. On February 28th they raised £300,000 at 10 pence. On the 8th of February they raised £350,000 at 8 pence. And on the 4th of August they raised £425,000 at 4.75 pence. That's £475,000, by the way. Couldn't get that out. But listen, do your own research. There may be a placing here they've missed, but check it out. Those are the placings there. So, list three reasons why someone should add them to their watch list. And number one, reason one, upcoming news on TH Crestgate drill results, possible massive indium, copper, zinc, and gold find in the Pyrite Belt. In the Pyrite Belt. Oh, yeah. You do find that in my belt, my gold. Pieces of eight. Reason two, upcoming news on Cap Energy JV with Far Energy, with a massive exploration drill in Senegal next to elephant find. I love these updates. They found an elephant during a drill. And reason three, the board has 30% of the shares. Chairman handle over 35 billion in investments, JBs. And it's a small market cap, free float, and SB moves very fast. Half the market cap is in cash and no debt. So that's MAFL. That's Mineral and Financial Investments Limited. And Barry thinks you should add those to your watch list. It's certainly been flying a bit and quite popular on social media, Twitter and stuff. So check them out, MAFL. All right, time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, It's Always There, Ascent Resources, AST. At four, Nyota Minerals, NYO. At three, Infinity, that's Energy, INFT. At two, Keras Resources, KRS. And number one is Vesarion, VRS. It's there again for the third day in a row. I did write a blog post on those on the weekend, and they are worth checking out in the world of graphene. Okay, here are the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning. At five, ECR Minerals. Let's take ECR, new Australian gold exploration license issued and a Bailstone project license transfer approved. At four, Saffron Energy. Bezeka completed on schedule and within budget. At three, Strategic Minerals. Drilling commenced at Redmore, Cornwall. At two, I had Dan on the podcast. Solo, investment in helium project and subscription. And number one, the most liked RNS today was from Asia Met Resources. ARS is ticker. That's Asia Met BKM Copper Project Feasibility Study results enhance mine development potential. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.